This is Bean speaking. I worked a lot of Christmases in retail in my early years. A lot of them.
Can you imagine?
I don't remember anyone ever dying. Like, not one time, not the most rabid shopper. I don't remember anyone getting trampled to death. No one ever got shot on my watch. It just didn't happen.
No, you just don't remember it.
Yeah. You don't remember anything.
You don't remember anything. There could have been just bloody carnage all around you at Savon, wherever you're working, and you wouldn't remember.
It could have been the Taj Mahal in Mumbai. I would have no memory of it. But that is apparently what is happening this year. There's been a couple of stories that have made a lot of news. A lot of people have started to go, wow, really? We're doing all this for an Xbox? I mean, really? Yeah. This is what it's come to?
Well, there was the Toys R Us in where? Palmdale? Palm Desert?
Palm Desert.
Gunfight at the Toys R Us Corral.
On Friday, two men who pulled guns and started shooting at each other inside the store were killed. At the time, the store was crowded with shoppers and children. No one else was hit. Witnesses say the wives of the two men started fighting just before the men started shooting. Today, armed security guards were in and outside that store.
A little late, if you ask me, but okay.
Fernell, by the way, sure does articulate.
Yeah, he's
the whitest black man in the world. Nothing says the holidays like armed security guards in a toy store. Nothing says Christmas.
So the wives, I guess, were arguing over a toy they wanted, I imagine. And
no,
then...
I think one guy said something about another guy's woman or something.
Oh, boy.
I don't know if it was shopping related or not, but...
And then they said, I challenge you to a duel.
One guy said, oh, yeah, and showed his gun, apparently, in his waistband. And unfortunately, the guy he chose to do that to also had a gun.
Come on.
And then it was just quick draw. And then it was Doc Holliday and Wyatt Earp.
This is crazy.
But at least they were good shots. I'm glad they killed each other instead of an innocent bystander.
That is true. So there were kids and families and stuff in there trying to buy,
So toys. It is sort of a survival of the fitness Darwinian example of how sometimes things work out.
And then there was the Walmart employee. And then we're going to take your phone calls if you have to work retail or had to work retail during the holidays. It seems like that would be a special level of hell. This is the Walmart in New York.
A day after a worker was trampled to death by an early morning Black Friday stampede inside this Long Island Walmart, people are wondering just how a post-holiday hunt for bargains could cost someone their life. This woman was inside the store.
He was trying to control the crowd. No use. They just pushed on him.
That employee fell to the floor, was stepped on by hundreds of people.
Police say the crowd even jostled first responders as they attempted to revive Demithai Damore, who was pronounced dead at the hospital about an hour later. Police say there wasn't enough security at the store. In a statement, Walmart calls the incident an unfortunate event that happened in spite of extra security and working closely with police on precautions at the store.
It was unfortunate.
Yeah.
That whole lot of Walmart's all hard, aren't they? One of your guys died. Yeah, that's an unfortunate event.
I wish that hadn't happened.
Not quite a tragedy. We can't really bump it up to tragedy. We just have to leave it at unfortunate event.
And certainly not our fault.
But two or three people step on the guy. Doesn't anyone say, hey, just let him get up for a second?
Have you ever worked retail, Kevin?
No.
Have you ever seen the mob mentality that takes over during these Christmas sales?
I have not. You?
It's horrific.
Yeah.
I spent a year working at Toys R Us back in Philadelphia.
A year.
Rough.
A year.
But it was That's only, a long time at
it,
Toys R Us.
It was a year, but it only was spanned one Christmas season. I worked sort of summer to summer.
Right.
So I only did one sentence of Christmas shopping while I was there, but it was during the Cabbage Patch doll phenomenon.
Oh.
And I saw behavior coming out of people that you wouldn't expect in a prison riot. People elbowing and fighting. I saw a woman bite another woman.
Oh, my God.
Awesome.
On the arm as she was reaching for one of these dolls.
Oh.
She bit her.
We had people making money by making phone calls, accepting bribes from customers and making phone calls when a pallet of dolls would be delivered into the back of
I remember
house.
That. They would all step to the side and go, hey, what's it worth for your time if you call me? Give me a heads up. Put me on a list or whatever.
And I remember thinking, Jesus right now must be so pleased that this is how people are celebrating his birthday. By biting each other and punching and kicking and throwing elbows, bows to the dome for a freaking doll.
Yeah.
Kevin, you've often said that you get into a place where you do anything for your kids. I mean, you just want to make your kids happy. That must be where this is coming from most of these people, is they're there to buy stuff for their kids under the tree that's hard to get, right?
99% of people would say, I'm not going to kill someone over it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm not going to let it escalate to physical violence.
This is a special level of ridiculous hell where people are just out there and they must be frustrated because they can't get the item, and they're frustrated because of traffic, and they're frustrated by everything going on.
And at some point, it has to stop being about their kids, and it's just competition.
Right.
At some point now, they're just in the game to win.
It becomes a pack of dogs where they're just going for a piece of meat. You see their eyes glaze over and they become different people. I'm sure all of these people in New York would never in a million years think they're the kind of person who could walk on someone else.
Hundreds, though? You think all hundreds of those people would say, I would never do
individually,
that?
One of those people would never step on another person's hand, let alone they would feel horrible about it. But when you put them in that mob mentality, it just gets...
And the thing is, if people are pushing from the back, they don't even know there's a guy down in front.
We're going to take your phone calls,
so
by the way.
You're saying it's okay?
No, I'm just saying.
Lisa's glad the guy died. It's not even unfortunate.
No, whatever.
Mbappe Ungandandawa. I heard he was an ass.
It's just an unfortunate incident, by the way.
That is all it is.
That's all it is.
We want to hear from you if you, like Ralph, have worked retail at the holiday season. Maybe you're working retail at the holiday season right now, and you know what it's like. You know about this glazed over look in their eyes.
I
you know
need
about
an
this
Elmo
mob
live.
Mentality.
Give me an Elmo live.
I think the closest I ever came to seeing it with my own eyes, Kevin, was when we were at the quote-unquote Depeche Mode riot at the warehouse store at the Beverly Connection, when people started pressing up against the glass and it started to bow, and it was really only a matter of time and just good luck that that whole glass window did not collapse and people didn't start streaming into the store and tearing those guys apart.
And we did the right thing at the time, which is to run for our lives.
Absolutely.
We did. Yes, that's right. Didn't try to settle it down. Nothing.
You trampled Depeche Mode on the way out.
Gone. So quickly. All right, we'll take your calls. 1-800-520-1067. Talking about the
what are you going to do when Santa comes by?
I'm going to say, what's up?
Sorry, got too excited about the Christmas season.
Talking to people who have to work retail at this time of year. It is frustrating to be a customer, but I can't imagine dealing with frustrated customers as somebody who works
there. Oh, God, no.
Yeah, that's
the worst job ever.
Seems bad.
Hell on earth. 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Israel in Anaheim? Or maybe it's the other way around. Maybe it's Anaheim and Israel. I'm not sure. But he's on line 8. Hey, Israel. Welcome to the Kevin Amin Show.
What's up, guys? What's up, Lisa?
Good morning.
You work retail at the holidays?
Yeah, I did, actually, a couple years ago. I worked at a toy store up in Anaheim. And it was, I don't know if you guys remember the little Furbies.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why those were popular. But we knew that we were going to have like a crazy mob scene for that. So we had a couple cameras on top of those monsters,
right?
And when people was rushed in to get them, they went like hotcakes, and there was about 3 left, and some guy was reaching out for one, and he actually got stabbed in the hand, so he can pull his hand back, and some other person took one of the last Furbies.
Oh my
gosh. He got stabbed in the hand while reaching for a Furby.
Yeah, it was either like a razor blade or some sort of sharp object, because we saw it on the camera. And when the security saw that, they just bum rushed him and just took him to the ground.
Dude.
Nothing says Christmas like a bum rush by security. Tell you that right now.
Thank you, Israel. That's a fantastic story. And by the way, a lot of these crazes, like with the Furby, 6 months after that, you could buy that same Furby for $1.99 in the discount aisle.
Yep. Let's go to Leah in Laverne. Good morning, Leah.
Good morning.
What store were you working at?
I worked at Robinson's May a couple years ago during Christmas.
Uh-huh.
And about a 70-year-old lady and someone who's about 30 got in a shoe fight about their place in line. And they started throwing shoes at each other and pulling off the register.
A 30-year-old and a 70-year-old?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And they knocked over the register.
Uh-huh. Luckily, I wasn't working the register.
Wow. Who ended up winning that?
There was no really winning. People broke up the fight, and then nobody knew who was in line.
Wow, good times.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then they all started throwing shoes.
Yeah.
I like it. Thank you for the
good
call.
Good times.
Wow, you people, suck.
Yeah, they really do.
Adrian in Fullerton, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hi there. What store were you working at?
Hey, I work at Kohl's.
Okay, Kohl's.
Okay.
And then I had this lady, she was in the top 10 of the line. And then her water broke, and she absolutely refused to get out of line because she was waiting in line for about 2 hours.
She was pregnant and her water broke, and she wouldn't get out of line.
She wouldn't. She refused all the managers. We had to find her sister, and her sister finally talked her out of getting out of line and getting to the hospital.
Well, now, two questions for you, Adrian. First of all, what was she in line waiting to buy? Do you remember?
Just a bunch of grocery stores. We had one of the, it was this year, actually, on last Friday.
Did you say just groceries?
No, clothes is a retail. We sell a bunch of clothes.
So it was clothes.
Clothing.
Okay. Clothes. You want to buy clothes. Okay, and secondly, don't you have some time after your water breaks? I mean, don't you have a few hours before you have to give birth to the baby?
I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
I think the doctor would say, though, if your water breaks, go ahead and, you know.
And head to the hospital. You'd best be laying down rather than standing on line.
Yeah, you don't want this guy. You don't want Adrian delivering your baby in line.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Doesn't sound like it. Up.
Yeah. Thank you, Lisa, for bringing that strong visual to us. Wow, we got so many and, of course, so little time. Let's talk to Max in Placentia. He's on line one. Placentia kind of reminds me of that last call, too. Hey, Max, you saw something unbelievable at what store?
I sure did. Hey, boys. Hey, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Morning. I worked in a private hobby shop, and I've seen two mothers pulling hair and putting their hands on each other's children to toys. One woman pulled one child away from the toy, dug her nails into the child's arm, and threw the child to the ground.
Oh, my gosh. Jeez.
She did that to somebody else's kid?
That's correct, because the other child had their hand on the toy. You remember a Hot Wheels craze a few years ago?
You know, it's really weird because you can almost, you know, mention every year and what item no one could get at Christmas that everybody wanted somehow, and it's just ridiculous.
Wow.
But somebody else touches your kid. I mean, that's when you pull out a gun.
You take him out.
Right?
Yeah.
Although Lisa heard that kid was an ass.
That's true. She did. The kid was just an ass. Thank you for the call.
Deserved it.
Let's go to Sean and Glendora. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Lisa May.
Good morning.
What store were you at?
I was working at a Target.
Okay.
And what happened was, it was probably about 9 in the morning or so. So, like, the big, huge rush had gone away, but there was still a fair amount of people in the store.
Right.
And there was a grandma. She had a full shopping cart of DVDs and, like, a TV and DVD player, that everything. And she turned to her right to pick up something else, and this guy out of nowhere ran up, pushed her out of her way, and jacked her shopping cart.
What?
Wait, he wanted the whole cart. He wanted everything that she had in the cart?
He took everything, because it was just so hard to get that stuff. Like, everything was already sold out, all the movies and the DVD players and the TV.
Was it already paid for?
No, it wasn't already paid for.
Well, he's an idiot. He should have waited until she paid for it. Then you take it.
So what happened to the guy? Did something happen to him?
Yeah, security eventually caught him. But where it happened is he took the car, and it was about 5 steps, and he could make a left-hand turn. So he was out of line of sight for a lot of people.
Oh, I see.
We didn't really see where he went. But, yeah, security did eventually catch him at the front door.
All right. Here's what I know about old ladies. Easy to push down.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That's true, yeah. And I think this is a useful segment for some of our listeners who haven't figured out how to get their holiday shopping done this year.
Right.
We get them some good tips on what to do.
It's a tough year, you know, money-wise.
Sure.
I know you don't want to do this, Bean, but let's go to Frank in Santa Clarita. Hey, Frank.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Good.
What store were you working at?
Working in Walmart. Okay. In the Walmart stores. I've been working, like, retail for, like, 10 years, so I've seen a lot of crazy stuff.
Okay.
Well, for about 3 or 4 years straight, there'd be this guy. We called him the Phantom Pooper.
We could okay.
We've talked about this before.
We've talked about a guy we had here that was the Phantom Pooper.
But we've also talked about it in retail stores, remember?
I told you guys about when I worked in Nordstrom's, a lady would go in the dressing room.
Yeah.
All the time.
A repeat offender.
And Frank, you had that for 3 or 4 years in a row?
Yes. That's why we called him the Phantom Pooper. Every year we would be waiting for this guy, and we'd be like, you know, we're going to catch him this year. Any day now, he's going to come in. He would just take a poop on the ground, in the electronics counters. Like, he'd just, like, hit the corner and just take a dump and then just take off. And every year, the same group of people worked around me, and I had this one guy cleaning every year. I felt so bad for him, but
he's
his boss, so I was like, I'm not cleaning that stuff up. Yeah, clean that stuff.
The baby Jesus would be very happy with this conversation.
God.
Wow.
Well,
thank you for the call.
At the holidays, were there at least any nuts?
It was, no.
Open wide for Chunky.
Dear Kevin and Bean, what's going on with you guys? You're slipping. Channel 4 News does a big special report on terror trains. and you've got nothing? No clips? No mocking? That's sad.
Terror Train.
Remember, I played the promo for it last week, but I didn't bring in the actual clips of the thing where Paul Moyer is going to ride the rails.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Well, here's what's great, and this is why we love Channel 4, is because they do nothing but whip you into a needless frenzy, which we're all for, by the way, is that they said in the promo, hey, remember when those guys blew up that train in Spain that time? Yes. Well, I wonder if that could happen here.
Yes.
So we're going to put Paul Moyer on an Amtrak to San Diego and see if it's anything like what happened in Spain.
That's the beautiful thing about Channel 4. And finally, on Paul Moyer's, hey, guys, can you please put the link back up for the Paul Moyer's Being a Dick MP3? I was telling my girlfriend all about it, and when I went to show her, it was gone. I'm just saying, it's really, really funny. Thanks, Joe. He's talking about the Paul Moyer tape that we have, and we'll play it again for you.
Okay.
Because this is spectacular. This is when Paul Moyer was at Channel 7, and he's working with a newscaster named Ann Martin. And this is like 30 seconds before they go on the air with the newscast. And they are arguing and yelling about something. We're not exactly sure what they're angry about. But all of the pounding that you hear during the thing is Paul Moyer hitting the desk or hitting his papers or something. He's pounding on the desk because he's so angry.
All the time.
It frequently is.
Well, then we better talk about it.
Do you hear me complaining about it?
Then we better talk about it.
Tonight I'm complaining because tonight I said,
then we better talk about it because I think you've got a problem. I think we've got a problem, all right? If that's what you think, then we'll talk about it after the show, and we'll talk about it with Roger Bell. Because I'm not going to sit here night after night and put up with this shit. Okay?
Night after night?
Tell him, man.
Night after night?
Well, it looks to me like that's the way it's going to go,
Ann. I'll take the ante up a little higher than
that.
Yeah,
go in!
You're not only wrong, you're way out of line.
Let me tell you something.
You started it, pal.
You want Harold Green, you might get him.
Fine with me. Good old Harold Green.
Okay. You want to start dealing with go ahead. That's what you want.
What is he hitting?
You just might get it.
No, but I wish he'd stop.
You know, you go home and have a couple of shooters, and I don't know what the happens, but when you come back, you're not the same lady.
That's not true.
Some nights it is, Ann.
20 seconds. You hear the guy in the back?
The news happens.
Then they start the newscast.
Everything's fine.
That's awesome.
That really is one of the funniest things ever.
Paul Moyer is just the best. Have you been following the story about the pandas in Thailand that won't have sex? They're trying desperately to get them to have sex so that they can continue the pandas.
Species, yeah.
Well, pandas are notorious for not procreating, and especially in the wild. It's very, very difficult to get them to mate. They have low sex drives to begin with. They're one of those sets of animals that only has sex like once every couple of years or something like that, and very rarely does it end in a pregnancy, and it's very, very difficult. That's why they're on the endangered species list, partly.
Just because they won't do it with each other.
Now
they're putting one of the pandas on a diet because he's too heavy. He'll crush her.
Oh.
If he has sex with her.
Yes.
So they're putting them on a diet. So we thought we'd check in Thailand with the zoo. Good morning.
Hello.
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 Is this the Thai zoo?
Yes, this is Thai zoo.
Well, we're calling to ask about the fat.
Who's
about
laughing
the...
there?
Nobody.
Who is laughing?
It sounded like somebody on your end.
No, I think it was your end.
Okay, all right. Sorry.
Is this a zookeeper at the zoo?
No, this is Chang Chang.
Oh, this is the panda.
Yeah.
You're the fat panda. Okay.
Yeah, panda.
First of all, Adam Carolla got a lot of trouble for saying Cheng Cheng. Are you sure it's okay for us
on
here?
No, that's his name.
That's my name.
Oh, that's your name. Okay,
I think he got trouble for saying Ching Chong.
Which is not. That's completely different.
Cheng Cheng.
Okay.
Very different.
You are not only a fat panda, but you speak English.
Well, not so well. I try speak English.
Mm-hmm.
I learn from porn films.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that because it said some of the people there at the zoo in Thailand were honestly considering showing you panda porn.
Yes, to teach me how to put Wing Wang and Ding Dong.
What? What is panda porn? Where do they exactly get that from?
Well, pandas show up at door and say, you here, I deliver pizza for you.
Right.
And then woman pandas say, come in, would you like some bamboo?
Right.
And panda delivery boy say, yes, but I have a stock for you right here.
I see. Okay.
They have the same porn music we do.
It's universal.
How about that?
But Ken Keg, is the problem that you need the porn because you don't know how the pieces fit together? Or is it, as I understand, that you're just too fat for your mate?
Well, they show me porn to give me idea.
Right.
But the only idea I got was to eat more and just take care of business myself.
To have pizza. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, he does.
I just kick back and wax on, wax off.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
How much weight do you need to lose before you won't kill your partner having sex?
I got to lose about 10 kilograms.
How much is that?
I don't
know. Pounds.
In pounds. I don't know. I am not from your country.
I see. Okay.
You right. Do some math.
I don't know how to do that.
Lazy motherfucker.
I'm sorry, did you say frack?
Bracker, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Bracker. Just oh, you're watching the Battlestar Galactica, too. I see.
Right.
Maybe that's the problem with your sex drive.
Maybe.
Yeah. Cheng, don't you feel like you have some obligation to keep the species alive, though?
Nope.
I mean, really? Because worldwide, pandas are an endangered species, and it seems like we need panda babies, and that's in your department.
That's tough. Tough darts.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'm living my life.
Is Mrs.
I can't worry about the species.
Is Mrs. Panda not attractive to you?
She needs a wax.
No.
She's a hairy bitch.
Well, she's a panda. She's a bear.
But still.
Not a woman.
Come on. You know? Clear cut the forest a little bit down there. You smell like a zoo.
Oh.
Or maybe it's the zoo.
Yeah, that could be. You're in a zoo, so that could be it.
I think the problem is my cage keeper keeps feeding me too much.
Oh, is that right? You keep eating too much.
He gave me this thing called Thai stick.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is, but it tastes good.
Yeah? And that makes you want to eat?
It makes me want to just lay around and eat.
Yeah.
And not have so much bang bang with Ling Lo.
Yeah, that Thai stick, I think, is pot.
What?
Hello, everybody. This is Johnny Knoxville. Merry Christmas. Welcome to a very jackass Christmas. Now, here I am on the roof of this house, and you'll notice that I'm only wearing a Santa hat, a beard, and a jock strap. And at the bottom of this chimney, we placed a fully decorated 8-foot spruce tree. And like old Saint Nick, I'm going to slide down this chimney. Only I'm doing it ass first, making myself the star on top of the jackass Christmas tree. Don't try this at home, kids. Oh, my ass. Okay, fellas, plug it in. Happy holidays.
All right, you know how you put a lot of importance on certain dates in your life? You know, Christmas, especially the famous one is New Year's Eve. Everybody gets to New Year's Eve, and they have to have great plans because this is supposed to be a great night. And your expectations are much higher than your average night. So people feel a lot of pressure to plan out ahead and make sure that they've got a good plan. And so when somebody else asks them later what they did on New Year's Eve, they have a better story than everybody else.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. And your expectations sometimes get so high that that event is ruined. Well, there's your 21st birthday. Now, this only comes around once in a lifetime. So this one's huge.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of pressure on your 21st birthday to have a good one. We were talking in the office the other day, and there were a lot of people here who had disastrous 21st birthdays. They were not good. The opposite of good. And of course, your expectations are so huge. Our producer, Lightning, is standing here. Lightning, tell us about your wonderful 21st birthday.
Is this thing working? Okay,
yep.
There we go. Well, it started out with...
I don't turn it on until the very last second. Go ahead.
Started out, we went to a... My mother took us to a dinner theater, one of those mystery dinner theaters.
Oh,
party. Figure out who done it.
Party.
Yeah.
Party. Okay.
That does say 21st birthday,
yeah.
Doesn't it?
Gay. Yeah, yeah, no drinking.
Gay. Gay, I know.
And it was so bad that we all knew it, and my mother felt bad, and she cried. And then we left.
Oh,
and and I ditched the family and went to my girlfriend's house, and then she proceeded to break up with me.
On your 21st birthday?
On my 21st
party,
birthday.
Party, party, party.
She made the right decision, I'd like to say.
Oh, she did, I'm
so,
sure.
So dumped on your 21st birthday.
That is brutal. Yeah, at least you're old enough to go cry in a bar.
All right.
I didn't.
Our assistant producer, Mike, what happened to you on your 21st birthday?
Well, they started off, my friends, I use that term loosely, took me to a strip club.
Yours is already so much better than Lightning's, who went with his mom
to dinner theater.
To a dinner theater. Yeah, go ahead.
And we went to a strip club, and I was just hammered by the time I got there because we had drank on the way over there. Mm-hmm. And they convinced me to do my own little strip tease at this dive strip bar. So when I take my clothes off and go to put them in the side of the bar, the strippers rip me off, take all my money. All the strippers gang up, take all my cash. Party, party, party. So then they take me back to one of my friend's house, and I'm comatose by this point. I mean, I can hardly move. My friends funnel, like, ammonia and all the kitchen products they could find into my body to make me vomit because they think that'd be fun.
Oh,
this is all on videotape, too.
You have terrible friends.
No, yeah, and I said,
but I wish I was one of them at that point.
I could die. I could have died. They're like, yeah, you know, I guess we really didn't think about it at that point. So I start vomiting on myself and everything. Then they break out their genitals, and that's going all over the place. I'm getting pictures. Roman soldier helmets. I'm getting everything. Party, party, party.
And I'm sure they're taking pictures of all that.
Yeah, and, you know, I'll be surprised if they don't end up getting sent to Lightning today.
Sure, of course.
And, you know, then I'm getting drawn on with the Sharpie, and it's all over me. I'm covered head to toe. I had to miss work the next day because even scrubbing as hard as I couldn't get the Sharpie of Mike Love's wiener on his forehead, you know. And so
It said Mike Love's wiener on his forehead?
Well,
That's what it said?
It said a version of Mike Love's wiener in a more vulgar way.
Of course,
and it said, you know, and there was pictures, depictions of macabre and sexual acts and everything. So
that is fantastic. That. How could you not look back on that and say, guys, I had the best 21st birthday party ever?
I do now. It's been a couple years, I look back at the pictures of Sack on my forehead, and I think, wow.
Good times.
Wow. How am I going to... Those are my salad days.
Sports guy money?
Yeah. I had a 21st birthday party weekend in Vegas, which was great.
Uh-huh.
Came back. I lived in a house with a bunch of guys, and they said, dude, let's go. It's time to party. It was the night of my 21st. I've been drinking all day in Vegas. We go to the local bar, and they line up 21 shots on the bar.
Oh.
And say,
you weren't dumb enough to do them, were you?
You got a half hour. So I started working through them, and it was a mix. It was a salad of shots, man.
No.
It was some tequila, Jaeger, whatever.
That's the worst.
So I got through, I remember getting through 7 or 8 and taking a break and kind of walking around a little bit. And then I got to 16, and on my 17th shot, I kind of gagged a little bit, and the bartender just goes, get him out now. So apparently I peed my pants already.
See, that's good times right there.
Yeah, they took me out of the bar. I went home. I threw up quite a bit, and they took me to my then-girlfriend, surprisingly, now wife's house, and I showed up at her house with no pants on. Her roommate answered the door.
Nice.
And I was like, hi, I'm here. And, went inside, fell asleep in my girlfriend's bed. Apparently, in the middle of the night, decided to stand up, open the top drawer of her nightstand, and pee in it, and then close it, get back into bed, and when she asked what happened, nothing. Go back to bed. Well, the next day was the first day of school for the in college.
Right.
Well, I, of course, couldn't go, and my hands, and I know hopefully people can understand this, they were like a cerebral palsy kind of in this crippling state.
They're stuck.
I could not open them. If I tried to open them, they would go back to this state for 2 days. So I had to miss 2 days of class, got kicked out of 2 of my 5 classes, so almost got kicked out of college for a semester. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday,
party,
everybody.
Party, hey, party, party, party.
We're going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067. What happened on your 21st birthday? How bad did it get? And we'll take your calls now. I know that you know of Kiss, the band.
Of course.
Gene Simmons, of course. Gene Simmons has every Kiss item that has ever been known to man is available. Thimbles, you know, hair clips.
Coffin, right?
Shirts, coffins, shoes, socks, any kind of clothing.
Anything you can think of.
Underwear, I'm sure.
Oh, my God.
Somehow he's capitalized on Kiss to an extent that no one has ever seen before.
Yeah.
But you may not know that he has now formed an entertainment company that is, it's a marketing company that is now going to start repping
other clients, not just Kiss.
Oh, no kidding.
Because he's, I guess, so good at it.
He obviously is.
The IndyCar series, it turns out, will race into a new season with efforts to grow the sport, broaden its fan base, and make more noise than ever. They announced that they forged a unique marketing alliance with Gene Simmons and entertainment industry veteran Richard Abramson. And they own this company, the Hollywood-based Simmons-Abramson Marketing Company.
He's going to market the Indy?
He's going to market anybody that wants him to market them. Which is not a bad idea because he's so great at it, obviously.
Yeah.
But they actually have a song for the Indy Car series called I Am Indy. And Gene Simmons wrote and recorded this. Didn't put a lot of work into the lyrics, necessarily. Good morning, Gene Simmons.
Good morning, everybody. How are you? It's Gene Simmons, bass player, sometimes singer,
right.
Oftentimes lover.
Right, right. We were just talking about your new company, this Hollywood-based Simmons-Abramson Marketing Company.
Very exciting, isn't it?
And how you now have come up with the theme song for the IndyCar series.
Yes, I did. It's a fantastic song, as most everything I create is.
It does say I Am Indy about 10 times in a row.
Truth be told, Kevin, when they came to me to develop that song, I thought they were talking about Cindy. And I banged Cindy outside of the Red Rocks Amphitheater in Denver during the 1981 Kiss Unmasked tour.
She's in your little black book?
Yes, I took her backstage and did the inverted screaming blowfish, which has only been performed 4 times on record by any man.
I didn't know that you could invert that.
It's only been performed 4 times in history, but I could show you some time. You're a very powerful and handsome man. I'm sure you could pull it off.
So you thought it was a girl. You didn't realize it was an Indy car race.
Yes, but it worked out in the end, didn't it?
But then you were quoted as saying, Indy cars are rockets on the ground. These drivers are modern knights in shining armor.
Wow.
It's true. This is a very manly sport, and as you know, Gene Simmons puts the man back in romance. And
sure.
I figured I could involve myself with something as sultry, as dangerous as IndyCar racing, because I am, in fact, Gene Simmons.
Right.
If you'd like to learn more about me, www.kissarmy.com.
Right, sure.
Thank you.
And that's where you can buy 75 million products that have to do with Kiss.
78 million.
Wow. I do know that last time you came into the studio, you pretty much made Lisa and assistant producer Alex a little squirmy.
Speaking of that, Lisa, are you busy tonight?
Got it.
That's terrible. Something. I had a whole night of vision for us. I wanted to take you on a cruise in my limousine along PCH at the sunsets.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
When you weren't paying attention, I would remove my pants and continually try to feel your chest.
Wow.
No matter what you'd say.
That sounds like quite a night for her.
It sounds like exactly what happened in the studio.
In the romance.
Now, Gene, this Gene Simmons Entertainment Marketing Company.
Yes.
Do you have any other clients yet, or is it just IndyCar racing?
Mostly. Right now, we're just working on IndyCar as far as the finished product, but there's a lot of products that are in production. Of course, I am Gene Simmons.
Right.
One of the greatest businessmen to ever come across rock and roll.
Sure.
I have everything is on the horizon right now. Of course, we're opening up the Kiss Coffee House in Seattle.
I have heard that, yes.
That's right.
Now, are you going to be working there?
I will not personally be behind the counter, but I will show up every once in a while to get my cup of Joe. Lisa, speaking of coffee, do you take cream?
Oh, come on, Gene.
Tea.
I'm willing to oblige anytime, just to let you know.
Strictly herbal tea. Sorry.
Okay. Well, if you ever make the switch over to the Jet Black Gold, I'm willing to provide the cream.
The coffee house. Okay.
Speaking of Lisa, I hear you. I'd like to congratulate you on your Golden Pylon Award.
Oh, thank you.
That was an
How'd
award.
How'd you know about that?
She won. Yeah.
I know most everything. I'm Gene Simmons. I actually have a pylon of myself. It's more of a purplish tone, but
Gene,
if you ever.
Not everything is about your penis.
I'm talking about a purple pylon, actually.
A purple pylon.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Any other clients, though? We would like to keep this to your business, if you don't mind.
Of course. What about our Kiss Taco Stand that we're opening up in Las Vegas?
A Kiss Taco Stand?
Yes. It's going to be called Kiss Taco. Speaking of tacos, Lisa.
No. No, Gene.
quite hungry.
I don't
for a clam flavored taco.
God.
Come on, Gene.
So disgusting.
Can you go 5 seconds without hitting on a girl?
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm talking about food.
Oh, food. Okay.
It's something you consume, a taco.
All right. So you have a taco stand. You have a coffee house.
What else?
Yes. We're also developing the Kiss line of luggage. I'm very excited about
luggage.
This. High-end top-of-the-line leather imported from Argentinian cattle.
Right.
And we're going to make attaché cases, backpacks, uh-huh. briefcases. Speaking of luggage, Lisa May, can I make a deposit in your flesh wallet?
Oh, for God's
sakes.
What's wrong with you, Gene?
I was just kidding.
Come on. You can't even say that with a straight face. Come on, Gene.
Flesh wallet.
Gene, are you there?
Finally.
Yes?
Because of the face.
I'm sorry?
Gene Simmons had a croup in his throat. I'm sorry. It's clear now.
No problem.
Because of the fanfare around Dick Cheney and, of course, the amazing hunting accident that went on a couple weeks ago.
Right.
We felt we should jump on board. KISS is always cutting edge.
Mm-hmm.
We're making the KISS birdshot ammunition.
Birdshot. So you're going to actually provide the shells for the shotguns.
That's right. Speaking of Dick Cheney, Lisa May.
speaking
of shots to the face.
Listen,
we have to go.
Stop
speaking of shots to the face.
Thank you.
The first time I ever went to Disney World, I was a kid. Now, we came from a very lower middle class family. We were not food stamps people, but we were government cheese eaters. So coming from a very one would say low rent, but I would say not very rich family. Going to Disney World was a big bad thing. So while we were there, naturally as a kid, of course, aside from riding the rides and whatnot, I always wanted to pick up every souvenir I can, anything with Mickey Mouse on it, anything with pirates on it. So my parents, in an odd display of wealth, anytime we went into a gift shop and I said, I want this, like I remember very specifically being in a gift shop near the Jungle Cruise, there was a rubber snake, very long, I don't know how much it was, but maybe $10 or something like that. So can I get this? My parents said, sure, just go ahead, take it outside, we'll pay for it. And that continued throughout the entire trip. We were there for 3 days. Years later, my brother and sister and I were sitting around talking. I said, remember that Christmas we went to Disney World and it was me and you guys, mom and dad, and they bought us, you know, anything. And they said, well, they got you anything you wanted, but they didn't buy it. And I was like, what are you talking about? They said, well, they told you that, you know, you just take stuff out of the gift shop. I said, yeah. And then they said when they got home, they would send a check back to Walt Disney. And then my brother and sister looked at me for a long minute as if I was stupid. And I was, because I hadn't pieced it together. I was like, wait a second. They didn't send a check back, did they? They said, no, the whole time you were there taking stuff out of the gift shop, mom and dad were letting you shoplift. So that's my Christmas story. And if I can extend a Christmas wish to Kevin and Bean, it would be this, particularly with this, the theme of superheroes. I wish, my Christmas wish for those guys is that they could have elastic. Not so much. Everyone goes for, like, you know, the complete elastic body. You don't need that. Every man knows the only thing they really need to stretch is their dick. That way, they could finally achieve their ultimate fantasy of being able to himself. And then when Bean is up in Seattle, he could stretch his all the way back to Los Angeles for Kevin to That would be my Merry Christmas wish for those guys. Merry Christmas to all of you.
I died in New York. And said, no,
that didn't happen. That guy died, and then he walked by, and then he said, no, that happened.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. By the way, a few minutes ago, Kevin and Bean listener Liliana Garcia from Baldwin Park won her tickets for night number one of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008. We got two big ways you can win. You can go to the website at krock.com and look for what song you should be listening for and be like her and be caller 20 to win them. Or you can stick around. About 20 minutes, we'll give you a chance to call up and earn them here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
So, Bean, how do I tell Ralph that I can't go to his party Saturday night?
Oh, no.
What are you, crazy?
And you RSVP'd, right?
That's cool.
You could go.
I RSVP'd, yes.
Cool, you Ralph, you're in here.
You made the you used the Evite, though, right? See, I don't care whether people come to the party or not at this point. And it's not about who actually attends.
Okay, good.
It's about the goddamn Evite.
Do you think maybe you're focusing too much on the Evite?
No.
Okay.
Evite is all.
All right.
All hail Evite.
Says they can go and you order all the food for them and the drink and then like half show up.
The odds of people who are saying they are going to come and then don't show are... How often is that going to happen?
Right. Kevin,
Kevin's got a situation where he's got an event. He's got this charity thing he's got to do, so he can't make it.
I don't know, but...
I understand that, but you think 50% of the people are going to say, yes, I'm coming, and
no,
then not show
but don't
Lisa?
Don't they say weddings? Like 20% aren't going to come?
Yeah, I have those statistics in my head. Hey, here's the thing on Evites.
Let me do my quick wedding invite calculations.
Here's the thing on Evites. Ralph sends out an Evite for his Christmas party, and it's very simple to just check yes or no.
Thank you. Very simple.
I'm not excusing my behavior, but when I was growing up, I never was taught that it's rude to not respond. You know what I mean? Like, I just figure...
Well, you were raised by wolves.
No one will care.
In the deserts of Arizona.
Whether I come or not. But having seen it from the other side, of, you know, the other point of view, which is you're going to throw a party, you have to get food, you have to get drinks.
Right.
You have to be able to count on how many people are going to be there. So Ralph can tell when people look at the Evite and then they don't respond, then he gets maybe a little testy.
No, a week goes by and you're like, okay, well, I'm sure they're going to respond any day now. Then 2 weeks go by and you say, wow, they're confused. They really don't know what their life is going to be like in a couple of weeks. They really must have problems. Then the third week goes by and say, now nah, they're just rude. Now nah, they're just effing with me. They just don't give an S.
But I was shocked, Ralph, and you gave us an update a couple of days ago on how many invitations still a few 2 days before the party you have
52,
not received a response
52
from.
People
52
have not responded.
52 people, no response at all.
52
That's not
people
even
who
maybe.
who have read the Evite. Have not responded.
That's
and
the evil of the Evite.
You give them a maybe option,
which
by
is
the way. Even
bogus.
If they don't
the
know,
option,
it is bogus.
It's a
I
bogus
agree.
Option. You don't know a month out whether you're going to be available on the date or not. What do you mean you can't win with Ralph?
You can't do the maybe because that's not okay. You won't give him a date to respond.
There is no maybe. There is no maybe.
It's got to be your way or no way. That's it. There's
Stop trying to make the rules
you.
Of RSVPing.
You're making all the rules.
Answer the goddamn RSVP.
Give him a date. You won't
that's insane.
Do it. All right, see,
that's...
he won't do it.
Why should you have to give people a date to
Here,
make them respond in a civil
makes
way?
Makes them do it. And I don't care whether you agree or not. That's just how they are. So you have to accept that and then move on and do something about it, which you can do but refuse
then,
to
Lisa,
do.
Lisa, what is the process then? Since you're the person who excuses this behavior, what is the mental process when you get the Evite?
I'm telling you, right. Why be mad year after year when you can do something about it?
Let's forego the date, putting the date on the invitation, which is not going to happen because the invitation's already out. So let's deal in the here and now
okay. And
say of the 52 people who have read that invitation, what is their mind? Set while they're not responding one way or the other.
I'm guessing what happened is a lot of people looked at the email, then they closed it, they didn't delete it, they just left it in their email, and now it's like back 5 weeks and they've completely forgotten about it.
So they're retarded.
This is not a party atmosphere at all.
Excusing them. But next year, just try something.
Well, you're no longer welcome. You'll be sitting and watching dogs dance on Saturday.
That's true, by the way.
Hey, I have one more thing to add to this.
By the way, let me give you an example. Our boss, Mr. Weatherby.
Yes.
Yes.
Responded to the Evite.
Yeah.
But he did put in the maybe, went into the maybe column.
Okay.
And he said, we're not sure if we're able to get someone to watch the kids or not.
Okay.
So I have to put maybe, but I did want to respond so I don't get the wrath of you on the radio.
You have scared us all.
And rightly so.
You have scared us all.
If the next time you get an Evite from anyone, my behavior goes through your mind and makes you respond in a timely fashion, then you know what? I'm okay with that. I've done my job.
You will have done a service to America. But here's the follow-up question I have for Lisa. If Lisa's all hung up on there being a please RSVP by date, okay? And I understand where she's coming from on that, but that didn't happen. Now there really is a date, and the date is the party is Saturday.
Saturday.
So why, clearly they have a date now, and they're not using it to make a decision.
They've got two days.
Look,
is that
I'm
enough
just,
time?
I'm trying to help Ralph out. That's all.
Here's
the
thing.
I think it nudges people. That's all.
We shouldn't be scared, though. Of an Evite.
You should be scared.
And that's what Ralph has done to all of us.
Yes,
now,
he has.
Now
yes,
why?
He
because
has.
Fear is good. Fear makes you do the right thing. If you weren't afraid the cops were going to pull you over, you would just be drinking and driving and speeding to work. Well, Kevin, you do that anyway.
I
but the average person
right.
would just do whatever they wanted. If there was no fear, there would be no society. There'd be no civilization.
When we all got
fear.
Ralph's Evite, we were very scared. None of us wanted to open it because we knew we could tell when we opened
right.
it. And the King
and
of Mexico...
And then we had to make a decision right away.
The King of Mexico described it as the ring. You see it, and then 7 days later, you're dead. and that's how we all felt. And so I think I'm gonna go into the movie production business, and next Christmas, I'm going to have a movie that's going to be starring Ralph Garman.
Awesome.
In the Evite.
Okay, we get it. You guys all like Lisa May more than you like us. We're fine with that.
Absolutely.
But... when she has sex with a guy, she allows her dogs to lay in bed with her.
Ugh. Well, I...
do you or do you not?
I do. I here's the thing.
Are you a freaking
let me
pet
just start
parent?
With
Are
the
you a
defense.
Freaking pet parent?
Are you a pet parent?
They do sleep with me at night.
Yes.
So it's
sure.
as much their bed as mine.
No.
And
no,
certainly
it isn't.
More than whoever's there for you know,
for that weekend.
For that, yeah, exactly. So,
Lisa, hold on. We got to stop you there because we're all thinking the same thing. How is it as much their bed as yours when you paid for the bed and right. you own the bed and you're the human and you decide who sleeps where? Yeah, well, they don't get an equal vote, you know.
They're just the animals.
They sleep in that bed.
Yeah,
right?
But they allow them to because you allow them
yes,
to.
Yes, I do.
Right. They don't get a vote. I mean, you might as well say it's their apartment as much as it is yours, so they get an equal vote as to where you move if you decide to move.
I used to have little doggy beds by my bed. And I would try to keep them there.
That's
and
not
then
the point,
in the
though.
Middle of the night, they'd always jump on the bed. So I just finally gave up.
Here's the thing. Lisa May cannot say no to her dog.
No,
she gives up.
Right. Yeah,
she lets them win. She just, if they want something, okay, fine. It's too much work. So what she said was, just to speed this along, I said, why do you let the dogs stay in bed when you're having sex? And she said, it would be too much hassle because they would be on the other side of the door and they would be barking and scratching. And I don't want to put up with that. So I just let them in the bed with me when I have sex.
It's more distracting.
It's more distracting.
Because eventually they settle down and they just go to sleep and they don't care what's going on. I mean, there's the occasional
You're having bad sex then.
One time
they can sleep through it. You're having bad sex.
One time they rolled over and licked a guy and he left.
Well, God bless
that
him.
That was a deal breaker for him.
Good
what
for
happened
him.
Was Maggie licked his leg in the middle and he just deflated.
Yeah.
And could not inflate.
Yeah. You know why?
I mean, it was...
Animals.
No, that was an overreaction. That was weird.
Stop it.
It was.
It was an overreaction.
Others have been licked, and they've been fine.
Down, boy.
Have been
trying
licked.
To have sex. Down.
Did you say others have been licked?
An errant lick on the leg, once on the butt. That's it. I mean, but they powered through. And to me, that is the mark of a man with concentration.
See, if I'm having sex with a human...
Yeah.
And then a dog gets involved with its tongue. Yeah, I'm deflating too.
Yes, I'm out. I don't need sex that bad.
I think
that's desperate.
I think that's weird that you could, couldn't, you know.
That's weird, but letting the dog be in the bed while the sex going on is fine.
You think it's weird that we don't want to have sex when a dog is licking our ass? Really?
You pervert?
You think that's weird that we don't want to do that?
I've tried it with the dog on the other side of the door, and it's worse.
Is there another room they can be in, not the other side of your bedroom door, but a bathroom or someplace you can put them?
Yeah, and they'll scratch the door to shreds.
The first two times they will.
You got to learn to... No.
You have to learn to have control over your
animals. School.
Maggie's got problems. I mean, I used to lock her in the kitchen.
Lisa's got problems.
No
kidding. Lisa's got big problems.
You got to put these dogs down.
If you had a child, would you have the baby in the bed with you while you were having sex? Because it's the same criteria with what you're using.
Of course she would.
No, not in the bed.
Of course she would.
Not in the bed.
Well, you don't want to put the kid outside the room because then they start clawing and scratching at the door and stuff.
That's what I'm saying.
You don't want that.
If he was in a little bed by the bed and he's under a year, I probably think that's okay.
No. What if you have...
What is that?
What if you had a hawk?
No.
Would you let the hawk
now
in the bed with you?
Animals,
I'm just saying,
it?
What if?
Hawk starts. Well, she's got one of those in the bed with her. She and the guy's leg.
All right, Tracy and Chino, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Tracy.
You are on the Lisa May side, and you have a dog that stays in the bed with you while you have sex.
Yes, in Lisa May's defense, I agree having a dog in the bed is no big deal. In fact, this weekend camping, my dog was in the sleeping bag with my husband and I, and it was no big deal.
And, you know, that's where it started was I was married, and we got a dog who slept in the same bed. And, you know,
fine.
You
kick
wake
him
up
out
in
for
the middle of the
seconds.
Night to have
exactly.
sex. What are you going to do?
Kick him out!
Why?
Because he's a dog and you're a human!
It's like having sex
well,
in a barn.
Black pug and she's about 20 pounds, and I do admit that occasionally, because of her loud snorting while she's licking her toy... In bed, my husband will throw her in the bathroom. But then we have to hear the jingling of her collar.
So what?
It's distracting.
Okay.
It's not distracting, but shooing the thing off the bed and the licking, that's not distracting.
That's
not
distracting. Scratching on the door.
Just ignore it. Ignore it.
It's ruining the door.
What if it was a goat? Would you have a goat in the bed with
barnyard
you?
All right,
animal.
You can keep the dogs, but cut their paws off then if they're scratching at the door.
Hey, what
just
about...
Just stumpy dogs running around.
Oh... What about Kim and Covina on line 5 who says that her dog must stay in the room? What's that all about?
What, Kim?
Hey, Kibbles and Bits and Lisa May.
Hi, Kim.
Your dog has to stay in the room with you?
He doesn't have to stay in the room, but he's a 105-pound American bulldog. And I don't know if you've ever tried to wrestle with one of those dogs.
No, you could.
Bean knows.
But, Kim, you know you can train dogs so that they'll do what you say.
They walk, too, by the way. You don't have to pick them up and drag them out of the room. They do walk.
They'll sit. It's amazing. They'll sit. They'll lay down.
Listen to me. If you put him outside the room, he cries.
Yeah.
That's why you train them, Kim. Is everybody against training a dog?
Yes, absolutely. How do you train them not to do that?
You can train your dog to not do anything, Lisa. If you have any control over them whatsoever, you can train your dog.
And listen to Kevin, who pays someone to train his dog,
by the way. At least he does something.
Dean was talking about how if you have kids in the room, well, you know, that goes back to Ralph's thing about pet parents. I mean, if we're pet parents to them, then it's a big deal for them to be in the room. But if we're not pet parents or we're just owners, it's no big
deal. She's a pet parent.
Yeah.
No, I don't think I am. I don't think I am. I don't buy them little hats.
House?
I don't celebrate their birthday. No.
What if you had a horse?
No.
Would that be all right in the bed with you?
Oh, she'd insist on that if there's a horse. Trust me.
Dude, you don't have to buy them little hats because they already score by watching you have sex three times a week.
Every day's their birthday party.
That's right, man.
Doug in Chino, good morning.
Hey, what's up, Kevin Bean?
This would be a deal breaker for you?
Yeah, man.
All right, let me ask you this. Would it be a deal breaker for you if Lisa May would have sex with you but had to have a dog in the bed?
I'd leave.
Not just a random woman, but with Lisa May, you would leave.
Yeah.
Doug,
what if
the dog
it's a
is
guy
just...
dog and it's licking your ass?
It's not a guy dog, by the way.
It doesn't matter what sex the dog is.
Apparently, to Doug,
yeah,
it
yeah,
does.
Yeah, that doesn't matter.
As long as it's a female dog, then I'm all right with it.
He just doesn't want to be gay with the animals.
Yeah. That's right. Bestiality is fine, but not gay bestiality.
Thank you, Doug. What if it's an orangutan? Is that okay?
Right.
No, I don't think so.
If I don't let him fling poo while I'm having sex in the room, he's just going to whine outside the door.
How about a farmload of hogs, Lisa? Would that be all right with you?
Because they don't sleep with me to begin with.
All right, let's go to Joe in Whittier, who has the final word. Yes, Joe.
Hey, Bean, Kevin, I got to tell you, man, Lisa May, if it was with her, I would do anything. I would let a dog do practically anything to me,
okay,
man, if it's just leave from me.
But wait, let me ask you something else, Joe. If it was just a random woman, would you feel the same way?
Oh, hell no.
No, okay. That's what I figured. What if it was an elephant?
What is wrong with you, Kevin?
Would you allow the elephant in bed with you? Yes or no?
Who hurt you?
Yes or no?
Rubbing his
maybe
trunk all over you?
Maybe.
Yes or no?
Maybe.
Get that trunk off of me.
You're throwing peanuts to keep
him
off the bed.
How long is the trunk?
We got to take care of some business here because there's hate in the room.
Well, tell me who this chick is because I don't like her much either, but I don't know anything about her.
I know very little about her. Rachel Ray is her name. She has probably 10 of the best-selling cookbooks of the last 2 years on the bestsellers
really?
List. She's enormously popular. She had a show on the Food Network that was very popular.
Don't
and
watch
then she
that.
Got picked up, and now she has her own nationally syndicated daytime show that I think airs at like 10 in the morning or something like that.
I think
that.
I saw like one news piece on her. I don't know if it was – I don't remember what it was, but she just struck me as annoying.
Very
really?
Annoying. She didn't
yeah.
look annoying at all to me. She just looked so
well,
fake.
She's
average.
A little overly like, perky.
I was totally.
An, yeah, I was
yeah,
annoyed.
She does have a little bit of the Kelly Ripa overly perky kind of
a little
chick.
Bit. What's wrong with
but
you?
But she's so small on my radar. Like,
yes.
I don't have any clue who she is or where she came from. You say she's on the Food Network. I never
right.
watched that. I don't know anything about her. She just struck me that one time as being annoying. Omar, who's in the studio now, is obsessed with, he's being eaten alive by hatred for her.
No, I don't know what it is. I have never seen her talk for more than a minute. I didn't even know she was on the Food Network. Just, she came into my life a year ago, and the second I saw her on TV, just, oh, I couldn't turn off the TV fast enough. It's, she sickens me.
Here's how.
like doing what, look. Like, I hate Dane Cook, okay? But the reason I hate him is because he's not funny. Mm-hmm. And he's hugely successful and popular in comedy, yet he's not funny. What is it that Rachel Ray has that burns
just
you?
Just the way she... Okay, so, just say, oh, I'm so cute, but I'm not skinny, but I'm not too fat, so everybody will like me. Ooh, just
she
shut
doesn't
up.
Say,
just shut
she
up.
She doesn't say any of those things.
I wouldn't know because I don't listen to her.
No, that's the sentiment coming through whatever word she's saying. Now, here's how this came into my life. I saw a Wheat Thins box with holes cut in it.
Yeah.
And I was like, what in God's name is this? Why would anybody cut holes in a box?
Yeah,
besides Psycho Mike. And we know why he would do that.
Right.
And I found out that it was Omar because Rachel Ray's picture was on a box of Wheat Thins.
Yeah.
And he tried to take them back to the store because he was outraged that Rachel Ray was on the box of Wheat Thins.
You didn't yeah. want to have that box in your house?
No, yeah. I was pretty upset at my girlfriend for bringing it into my house.
Went back to to the store, talked to the manager, tried to return them.
Tried to get a box from, like, in the back. You know, I went and made him go check in the back, see if they had, you
get
know,
get, like,
something.
An Osama bin Laden box or something that's less offensive.
Something.
Wheat thin's fine. Picture of her, offensive. So much so that he went back to the store to ask for a refund.
I want to make sure I understand. One of the reasons you hate her is because she's not too fat and she's not too thin. She's just kind of average build.
No, that's,
how do you hold that against her?
That's she thinks she does it for a reason, dude. And I know she's got some sort of sick secret that she, like, kicks puppies in the dark and she eats babies.
What,
dude? I know there's something wrong, dude. No.
So he can't return the box of wheat then. So he cuts out the picture of her face on four different sides of the box. You can see there's a picture up at the krock.com. Go to the Kevin and Bean sites page. There's a picture of Omar with the box that he's cut. He literally, he cut it, and he didn't do this, like, as a bit. He did it out of rage. Oh,
yeah, and then every time I go into, like, a bookstore and I see her books or whatever, I'll turn them around so they don't face with her face.
Do the eyes follow you?
Yeah, it bugs me. All right, one time I was at a Circuit City and her show was on, and I just, you know, I talked to the whoever was working there and I made him change the channel on all the TVs.
On all of them?
Because I was in the store.
All right, let's say good morning to Chris in Hollywood. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, nephew.
We're not quite at that segment, but tell us about Rachel Ray. I don't know anything about her.
Listen, I live with my girlfriend. We've lived together for 3 years, and she's been watching her for a while. And I don't usually watch cooking shows because I don't cook. And I started watching her, and she is so incredibly hot.
Oh my God, what is wrong with you? Hang up on this guy.
I used to love Omar. I thought he was so awesome. I felt so bad for him, but now I realize he's an idiot.
Well, I hate you.
She's not... I wouldn't go hot.
Tavares to say she's hot, but she's an attractive, yeah. I guess. No. Chris, if your picture was on Wheat Thins, Omar would cut your face out.
You're dead to me.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, I heard you guys talking about how Omar hates Rachel Ray. This email from Dave begins, I want to let you know that I firmly stand behind him. I can't stand her face either. I saw the Wheat Thins box at the grocery store and informed my wife we would not buy Wheat Thins anymore until she was taken off the box. I searched through the boxes to find an older one without her stomach-turning head on it. How can I eat crackers with that doughy Quasimodo looking back at me? I hate her with the power of 1,000 suns. Tell Omar I'm on his side. There's nothing wrong with his behavior. I would like to start a movement to rid the planet of this obnoxious jelly roll.
That's what I'm talking about.
We got this on the Afro line.
Omar, you are so right. Rachel Ray is a
But the point is that Kevin makes is, why is a woman that we barely know exists, how did she become elevated to terror cell that Jack Bauer needs to be called
she's
in on?
She's not even on the radar.
Just rubs me the wrong way. But I don't know what it is about her.
All right. Andrew in Pasadena is another guy who tried to return the box because she was on it.
No. Yeah.
Are you kidding?
No, dead serious. My ex-girlfriend and I, we always used to buy the Wheat Thins. And she came home with them one day, and she came home with two boxes, and one had the face and one didn't. And I can't stand Rachel Ray.
Why?
I love cooking, and I watch the Food Network all the time. I've seen her show. She makes me want to throw up. First of all, she's not a cook, but she has shows on the Food Network talking about $40 a day, and she has these awful responses to everything she eats. You know, she'll eat something, she goes, that's tasty, and it only cost me $5.
Oh, God.
But isn't that what people who are watching cooking shows want, is something that you can make that's cheap and
something
tastes
about
good?
Her that's it's instantly annoying.
Something that you can make. She goes to different towns and tells you how you can live on $40 a day in each different town.
Superwhore, by the way.
Beach, so like, yeah, right.
Our assistant producer, Superwhore, says that Oprah discovered her, too. So that's like strike one, two, and three right there.
The guy who called, who said she's hot, should be fired immediately.
What, from what? From dialing the phone?
It doesn't work for us.
We can't fire a phone caller. All right, fire from life. Okay. All right,
let's take one more. Let's go down to Huntington Beach. We've got Eric on the line who also would like to weigh in. Apparently, there's a big Rachel Ray controversy brewing in this country that I was not aware of. I thought Al-Qaeda was the enemy. Apparently, no, it's Rachel Ray.
I hate RachelRay.com coming soon.
Oh, really? Nice, Omar. Eric in Huntington Beach, hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. Rachel Ray, I didn't know she existed until Omar cut out her picture on the box.
Oh, she is the most annoying person on the planet. My sister TiVos her show every effing day and makes me watch it.
She can't make you watch it? Wait a minute, Eric. She can't make you watch the show?
I come home from work and that crap is always on.
What, you don't have legs?
It never comes off the TV.
Is she more annoying, seriously, than Joan Rivers, for instance?
Rosie O'Donnell.
Rosie O'Donnell. Yeah.
Say that, but she makes up her own language that doesn't make any sense.
Like Joan Rivers and Rosie, it's like a train wreck, you know? You can't wait to see where the hell this goes with some reason.
It's clearly bad?
Yeah, yeah. Her is just nothing. It's just all sweet and non-offensive and just, be real. It's just like, you know what, fake. It's too freaking fake.
That's what annoyed me about her. You put your finger on it. She instantly, to me, she seemed fake.
Yeah.
She was very Rick Dees-esque, where she just is full of hype and no substance.
It's nonstop 100% of the time. It's...
Why do you have to hate what you don't understand?
Omar, Amy in Tustin says, have you tried her recipe? She's helping working moms.
Shut up!
It's that time of year for Christmas parties.
Well, it used to be.
Used to be.
I don't know if it is this year or not.
Before they all got canceled?
Yeah, pretty much.
We're not having one.
Mm-mm.
Because, you know, bad economy. Everyone's getting fired. I guess the last thing people want is to have a Christmas party after they get fired. So... but we did take a call from a K-Rock listener not too long ago who got fired because he, at his Christmas party, got drunk and was dancing. And apparently a woman came up and started dancing with him, so he started dancing with her. And apparently it was his boss's wife. He was dancing with his boss's wife.
He didn't know, so he was dancing with her in a way that you wouldn't if you knew it was your boss's
inappropriate.
Wife.
Yes. I see.
Called into the office. Let go.
Yeah.
Look, we're going to take your calls on office Christmas parties gone wrong at 1-800-520-1067. There are some general pitfalls to avoid. In fact, I just saw a list this morning specifically for people this time of year of what not to do at company Christmas parties. And it's a pretty easy four-part list, but it's easy to see how you go off the rails at a party because you're celebrating. You're having a good time. You're letting your hair down. You're enjoying yourself. One thing leads to another, as they say, right?
Most of the time, you spend a lot of time with your coworkers, but you never really, except for your close friends, you never really go out drinking with them.
Right.
That's
so
right.
When you have a Christmas party and there's booze and you're with your people that you work with, it can have serious long-term effects if things go wrong, which they can.
That's a good point.
Look what happens every time Michael Scott takes the kids out from the office. Look at the damage that happens. All right, from advertising agent, again, then we're going to take your calls to find out what you've had happen to you or others that you've seen. Stuff that's happened at Christmas parties. 1-800-520-1067. Here's the list from advertising agent. Number one, consider treating alcohol like it's your enemy. Okay? Now, doesn't that eliminate the need to go for the party? If you're going to go there and alcohol is poison, then why bother? The only reason you're going is so that you can get free booze, right?
That's plus the only thing to get you through the party.
Plus the only way you can make it through is to drink.
Yes.
Exactly. Item two, what happens at the party definitely will not stay there. So it's not like you're in a bubble and you can get away with it and it's not going to be the topic of conversation when you go back to the office on Monday, okay? So keep that in mind. It's still real life.
Okay.
Number three, don't forget about the existence of sexual harassment laws.
Oh, those pesky things.
Aren't those suspended during Christmas parties?
I think in a just America, yeah, that would be the way it is. But I mean, you go to the Christmas party, there's that hottie in the office that you've always had your eye on. It seems like you ought to have the opportunity to, you know, make a move.
You start drinking, that's liquid courage, man. Then you make the move.
Number four, avoid peer pressure to take part in debauchery. Just because Omar says, hey, wouldn't it be great if we peed on Mr. Weatherby's desk, doesn't mean that we should all pee on Mr. Weatherby's desk. Although it sounds like fun at the time, keep in mind that sometimes others will be getting into trouble. You don't necessarily want to join them.
All right, I cannot subscribe to this list.
Because
really, that's all the fun of a Christmas party. Gone.
Yeah.
So no hitting on chicks, no drinking, and no debauchery. So what's the point of even going to the party, right?
1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Lydia in Ontario as we talk about Christmas parties gone wrong. Lydia, good morning.
Hi, good morning. I actually have a story. There was a hypnotist who attended our Christmas party. Manager said it was pretty cool, right?
Right.
So then he hypnotized this young lady, and she had some spaghetti strap dress or shirt, whatever.
Yes.
So it kept coming down, and her boobs kept popping out.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. It was pretty funny.
And let me ask you this, because our friend, the amazing Tom Silver, who we've seen do a lot of hypnosis and refuses to use his power for evil, which is just BS, he would never let something like that happen. But when people come out, they have no memory. When he does, they have no memory of what went on while they were hypnotized. Was that the case with your coworker, too?
Yes, it was. It was pretty funny. She didn't believe it.
Did anyone take pictures on their cell phone or anything?
I
pass them around? Because that would be the, you know, that would be the nightmare for somebody who that happened to at a Christmas party, and then you go back to work and there's pictures everywhere.
It's everyone's screensaver.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't remember it, yet there is photos of it actually happening. That's an awesome story. Thank you for the call, Lydia.
That is not a party gone wrong, by the way. That's a party gone right.
You're right.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. We have fights, we have brawls, we have people sleeping outdoors. We have all kinds of problems, and we will take your calls when we get back on camera.
Right now, we're taking calls about Christmas parties gone wrong. Back when there was an economy in this country and the companies used to throw Christmas parties, co-workers would get together, and sometimes they'd, you know, they'd maybe drink a little bit, and sometimes there'd be some behavior that perhaps would not go over well with superiors. And those are the stories that we're looking for at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Amy in Riverside? She is on line 3 this morning on the Kevin Amin Show. Hey, Amy, thanks for calling. What happened at your Christmas party?
Hi. My husband and I went to my office Christmas party, and he proceeded to get so drunk I didn't even want to be around him.
Good.
So I took off and kind of did my own thing. I came back to work on Monday. I had 10 different phone calls from 10 different sales reps.
Mm-hmm.
Telling me how sorry they were for me because he had proceeded to ask 10 different sales reps who I was sleeping with at the office.
Oh man.
Whoa, cash bags, I think you mean, is what you meant to say.
No, I can understand you were upset by that. That seems like that would be bad.
So you guys are not together anymore?
We are not together anymore.
Wow. All
right. Merry Christmas.
About as bad as it gets right there. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. Let's try Tanya on line 1. Tanya, if that's really her name, is in Costa Mesa. Hi, Tanya. What's up?
The company I work for made the unfortunate mistake of putting me in charge of the drink ticket.
Uh-huh.
So every person that came to the party got an envelope with 2 tickets in it for 2 free drinks.
Right.
Well, of course, when some people signed up, they were like, oh, well, we don't want any of the drinks or whatever. So that extra envelope went into Tanya's bag.
Sure. So, how many tickets did you have?
Oh, I don't know, about 150.
Nice!
Oh, no!
Wow!
Tanya is at the desk going, all right, 1 for you, 2 for me.
7 for me. Wow.
Needless to say, me and about 20 of my friends got completely trashed and ended up sleeping in a hotel room that night, all 20 of us in one room.
Nice.
That's fantastic.
Good times. Thank you, Tony. That's like giving me drink coupons. You just can't do that
with
some people.
You can't do it, right. Let's go down to San Pedro, please, for Louise. He's on line 6. Louis, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin Amin Show.
Hey, how we doing, guys?
Good.
I used to work in a motorcycle shop, and we all used to go to the same go-kart track every year for a Christmas party.
Right.
We went over there, and a fight broke out between one of my coworkers and I guess someone else that just happened to be there that day. Fight broke out there. Rent-a-cop started getting involved. Complete brawl broke out. Things flying everywhere. Pepper spray everywhere.
Oh.
Wow. It's not a Christmas party until you get pepper sprayed, by the way. That says the holidays.
Yeah, we're not allowed there anymore.
An all-out brawl.
That's hilarious.
The baby Jesus would be so proud.
Sure.
Thank you, Louis.
How about Ellie in Costa Mesa, by the way? Line 7, another great one. This goes back to our hypnotist story from a few minutes ago. Hey, Elle, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi.
Hi there. What happened?
I did the worm while wearing a small black dress, and it flipped up over my head and revealed me only wearing a red thong.
Oh, nice.
Fantastic.
That is good. That is good work right there. And did people take pictures of you?
I have not seen any. I hope not.
Because that's the danger, you know, in this age, is it could be up on the internet before you get home.
Yeah, before the dress is back down over your knees, there could be pictures up on the internet. That's fair. Well, you gave a little Christmas gift to the office. I'm sure they were very appreciative.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Katie in Los Angeles. Good morning, Katie.
Good morning.
What happened in your Christmas party gone south?
Okay, I used to work at a catering company in Santa Monica, and Christmas season is really busy, so none of us had any in a really long time.
Right.
And we had a bunch of hot actors/models for wait staff that worked throughout the year. And for whatever reason, Christmas party gets really late. Catering manager ended up screwing one of them in the China room.
Okay.
Two other girls on the patio at the same time with 2 other guys.
Wow.
Oh, my God. It's an orgy.
It really was. I decided to take the chef home because I always thought he was hot. And 4 of the girls who decided they were too drunk to drive home walked to my apartment, and the chef was in the door in his underwear.
I want to hire your catering company.
No, they're all dudes. You don't want their catering company. You want to hire the girls at her office is what you want to hire.
Oh, all right.
It was so hard to go back to work the next morning, we couldn't even look at each other.
Yeah, that's
awesome. I can imagine, yeah.
So basically, all of your friends at the office all had sex at the Christmas party, essentially.
Girls, including my boss, had sex with one of the waitstaff guys.
What?
How about that?
Funny.
Good work. That says the holidays right there. Let's see. Got thrown out. Wasted. Manager. Let's talk to Javier in Baldwin Park. Good morning, Javier.
How you guys doing?
Good. Christmas party gone south. What happened?
About 3 years ago, you know, I went to my company Christmas party, and I was there for maybe probably about an hour, and a fight broke out between a manager and one of my coworkers.
So it was his boss and him?
Yes, it was my boss and one of my coworkers.
And how big a fight did it turn out to be?
It was a pretty big fight. Somebody actually said that somebody brought a knife to the party. But after an hour, that whole party was canceled, and they never had a Christmas party ever again.
It's right up there with it's not a party until someone gets pepper sprayed. It's not a party until it's a knife fight.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to... We could do this all day. This is so scary.
Yeah, great ones. And by the way, I mean, these are some serious parties. I mean, yeah. The stories that we're hearing, I want to party with you guys.
Sarah in Long Beach. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hi there. What happened at your party?
My sister decided to take me to her company party, mm-hmm. and she ended up getting absolutely plastered. She started fights with the waiters who were just there to do their job.
Oh, good.
Cops ended up getting called, and there was a big fight going on, and it just turned extremely to a drunken, wasted fight. And
the cops got called on your sister.
Wow.
Good times. And that
she
was,
had a meeting with her boss the next Monday morning about that.
And that was her company, right? Up. Not yours. It was her company?
No, it was hers, not mine.
Nice.
And it wasn't me who started it. It was hers.
Yeah, of course. She's calling. She's on the other line right now saying it was you.
Okay.
Thank you, Sarah, for the call. And Brittany in Whittier. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
What happened?
Love Lisa May.
Good morning.
Well, I actually got really, really wasted at my company's party. I worked at Mervyn, so we were all friends. It was just like one big family.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone knew that I was underage. Well, I decided that I was going to get super wasted and start dancing and making a scene.
Good times.
Well, about an hour of my absence, people were like, well, where's Brittany? And they started looking for me and looking for me. And they actually found me outside under my friend's car trying to keep warm next to a pile of vomit and a 40 of Mickey's in a brown paper bag in my hand.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Wow. That's fantastic. You know, we talk about a lot of different topics on this show, and every once in a while, something will come out of left field and completely surprise us.
Yes.
And that's what this particular topic did, because we didn't know that there was anyone who was alive today who was afraid of what this guy's afraid of.
Let's talk to K-Rock listener Ronnie about the email we got last week. Hey, Ronnie, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean and Lisa May.
Good morning.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. How long have you been listening to the little program?
Oh, it's been about 5 years, I think.
Wow. Thank you very much. So I got this email from you at the end of last week. Dear Bean, this email begins, am I the only one that constantly thinks about how they would survive when the dead come back to life to kill the living? You're talking about zombies, right, Ronnie?
Yes, I am.
I'm always on the lookout for buildings with little or no windows that would be a good place to defend in case of a zombie attack. I'm always looking out for the nearest item that I could use as a weapon to bash a zombie's brain in, because we all know that's the only way to stop a zombie. I look for escape routes for me and my family for when they come to the front door, the back door, or the garage. I've got high spots picked out in my neighborhood that we can climb to get out of reach of the zombies, because we all know that zombies can't climb. I've decided that other typical places like police stations and military bases that are good hiding places, the best local place to go that will keep the zombies out is a bank. It's one of the few places that's built specifically to keep people out. We'll have to venture out for food, of course, but I plan to stop at the nearest grocery store and grab as much food and water as I can before I head to the bank. I think it's a good plan. If you have any suggestions on how to help me prepare for a zombie invasion, please feel free to let me know. Now, we read your email, Ronnie, and I got to tell you, you opened up the floodgates.
Well, we read your email on the air, and then we got like a bunch of other listeners that emailed us and said, oh my God, I can't believe Ronnie's afraid of just like I am.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I can't be the only one to think
that. Well, we thought you were.
We hoped you
until
were.
Until we read your email, and then we realized everybody is afraid of zombies.
The dead who live on living flesh. The dead whose haunted souls haunt the living. the living whose bodies are the only food for these ungodly creatures.
They're mindless walking corpses. Zombies, man. They creep me out.
It's like they're pretending to be alive.
Is everyone dead?
Dead-ish.
Dead-ish, sure.
Dear Kevin, Bean, Ralph, and Lisa, regarding the paranoid listener whose idle mind is occupied with zombie defense strategies, well, the best place to go in the event of a zombie invasion would be Costco. They've got nearly indefinite food supply, big screen TVs, and DVDs to occupy your time. They're all fortified with roll-down doors that the undead would not be able to claw through. And most Costcos are three stories tall with unscalable walls. The roof would be an excellent place to pick off zombies with rifles for defense or sporting purposes. Zoe, what's going on, Ronnie, that you're afraid of zombies? What's the deal?
Well, isn't everybody? I mean, well, wouldn't you be afraid of zombies?
Well, I am now. I wasn't until I got your email.
How often have you watched Dawn of the Dead or whatever those movies were?
Well, see, that's the thing. I'm not even a real big zombie movie fan. But when I do see a zombie movie, it irritates me so bad when they do such stupid things like walk up to him and ask him, "Sir, are you okay?" when his face is half, you know, off.
But, Ronnie, I'm not a zombie expert, but don't they walk at about 1 foot per hour?
Well, it depends on what movie you're watching. If you watch House of the Dead, they're super zombies, and they like to jump, you know, 50 feet. And
well, then how's your little stay up high plan going to work? Isn't that for bears?
Well, if it's super zombies, I'm screwed.
We're all screwed if it's super zombies.
Right. I mean, it seems like zombies would be easy to run away from. It doesn't seem like they could ever catch you.
But if there's a lot of them and they're surrounding your house, you can't just run away from them. You have to get up high. You have to find alternate escape routes.
It seems like if you just ran full... Listen to us talking now as if it's going to happen.
No, he's right. You couldn't.
Yes,
if your house was surrounded by zombies...
Just run through them.
No, it's not. They're strong enough to stop you.
No, they're not. Well, they're dead.
Sometimes they're like 10 deep. How can you run through 10 deep?
Dude, they're dead. They
don't
exactly.
Red Rover.
They haven't exactly been working out, you know?
Yeah, but they still weigh like 150, 200
pounds.
How
do you know
pounds?
What a zombie weighs?
Let's go to Candace and Elisa Viejo. We're talking about the coming zombie invasion and what we can do to avoid it. Candace, you got some experience with people being afraid of zombies, huh?
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa.
Hello.
Who's afraid of zombies in your house?
Yeah, my stepdad is afraid of zombies, and he was telling my mom and me about how he's afraid of zombies and his plan of how everybody would get out of the house, and we thought he was ridiculous. But he has it all worked out that they've got enough food, and if it came down to it, they've got two cats, so they can eat one cat, and the other cat can chase mice and catch mice so they can live in the house, no problem.
Okay, your stepdad told you all this?
Yeah, he did. It's ridiculous.
Was he laughing when he told you, or was he serious?
No, he was dead serious. And I guess there's some book that's the ultimate survival guide to, I don't know, dead or zombie attack or something that he sent me a link to, and he said, no, you've got to read this book because it tells you that they're going to come. The zombies are going to come.
How old were you when your stepdad told you this?
Oh, this was just a couple weeks ago.
How old are you now?
I'm 28.
28.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow, stepdad's going bye-bye.
No, it's crazy.
Thank you, Candace.
Hey, Ronnie, have you read the Max Brooks book that she's referring to, The Zombie Survival Guide?
No, I'm going to Google it right now.
Dude!
Apparently, it's a very, very hot seller. I also want to thank K-Rock listener Tim for sending me a link to his website. He, Kevin, writes zombie haiku, which I think... Tornado above, wind ripping, dead flesh from bones, zombie keeps walking. That sort of thing. Haiku about zombies. Apparently, we have really tapped into something here.
All right, let's say good morning to Dennis from Torrance. Good morning, Dennis.
Good morning.
You're also freaked out by zombies.
Well, I'm not really freaked out, but I've definitely spent more time with, like, friends or something, just kind of BSing around, like, watching a bad zombie movie of how to survive a zombie attack than how to avoid an Al-Qaeda attack.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, like, if there's some kind of a gas or some kind of an attack like that, you're not prepared. But if zombies back...
But if zombies, I know exactly. First off, every one of the movies, they figure out real quick, the bite's what causes them to turn into zombies.
I see, so if they
and
bite
you... And none of them bother to put on, like, jackets or even, like, you know, like, hey, put on shoulder pads at least, you know?
Who has shoulder pads laying around the house, though, Dennis?
Go raid your local high school, get football equipment, something. I
Dennis...
mean, just put on an overcoat. I mean, they walk out bare-armed, like, oh, my God, I got bit.
How old are you, Dennis?
I'm 35.
Okay. All right.
But then, I mean, we'll watch, like, lots of the bad movies. Like, we loved Shaun of the Dead,
sure.
Army of Darkness. And
sure. You watch them too much, Dennis.
Good stuff.
Thanks for calling.
Unhappy zombie, what plagues you so, oh dead one?
My right arm fell off. Thank you very much. Please give a zombie haiku.
Let's talk to Manny, who scares me, I think, more than even Ronnie. Good morning, Manny.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa.
Hello, Manny.
Tell us about your fear.
Not so much as a fear as preparedness. I mean, I've got I got a 14-inch machete that I drive around with in my Explorer. I just kind of keep it under my seat.
Is that because you live in Inglewood, or are you from Columbia, or what?
I live in Inglewood.
You do?
Manny, I got to tell you, I have received emails already this morning from others who carry around big knives or machetes because they say they don't run out of bullets, and you can kill a lot more zombies with a sharp blade than you can with a gun. Is that your thinking, too?
That's absolutely true. Any kind of blunt object will do it.
But, Manny, are you kidding when you say you carry a machete around?
No, I mean, I also go hiking and stuff, you know, and like to clear a trail and stuff, but I mean, that's the main reason.
It's really for zombies.
Yes, I have the survival guide.
How old are you, Manny?
Kevin, why are you hating on preparedness, man? These people are all a step ahead of you and me. We're going to be the first to get killed by the zombies.
Well,
you say that now, but a lot of people will get killed by zombies.
Yeah, but I'll wear an overcoat. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? All right, let's go to Jared in Huntington Beach. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning.
Now, you've read this book, Max Brooks's book.
It's the best book ever. I used to be like a zombie, you know, novice fearmonger about zombie, just invasions and all kinds of crazy stuff. But fortunately, I worked through it with that book.
So you're no longer afraid?
No longer afraid after that book.
Is that because you're prepared?
Because I'm prepared.
Because he's prepared.
Oh, I see. Do you carry a machete around?
I do not carry a machete around. I live a perfectly normal life nowadays.
How are you prepared then? What's the preparation? What's the secret?
Basically, I'm screwed no matter what. So it's kind of that, you know, that resolve, knowing that they're going to win no matter what. But at least I know that I gave it my best when it finally happened.
But Jared,
so you can take out a few before you go.
Absolutely.
Okay, I don't want to hang with you then, because you've got a really defeatist plan. Let's talk to Leanne, who's calling from Anaheim. Good morning, Leanne.
Good morning.
How are all you people afraid of zombies?
I am. That's the worst thing that could possibly happen. I am not scared of terrorists. I am all about the zombies.
Well, isn't President Bush speaking to this, then, if this is our problem?
That's a great point. You know, he just did the State of the Union address a couple of weeks ago. Not a word of zombies. Before we hear your story, perhaps some more zombie haiku from our friend Tim. Zombie, poor zombie, why was death on vacation on your dying day?
All right, what's your plan, Leanne? How are you going to avoid being killed by zombies?
Yeah, I have started rationing and bringing in supplies, and I'm starting to get a shark suit made because the zombies cannot bite through the shark suit.
Oh, that's very smart. Very
You're getting
smart.
A shark suit made. Are those the ones that are made out of, like, chain link?
Absolutely. And I go
all right, wait a minute,
to
Leanne.
A gun range.
Leanne.
And I practice.
But you're kidding about the shark suit?
No.
How much is it costing you?
No, I'm in the process. It's still being, like, thought out, but...
But you're going to get a shark suit in case the zombies attack.
Absolutely.
I have no problem. I am... Leanne, sign me up for one, too. Would you get two made, please?
All right, definitely.
I love every one of you people. This is awesome. You are my people.
Lisa is getting something called a G-Shot. We've got details coming up on K-Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Very exciting.
I hope there's a webcam involved wherever that surgery is being held today. Is it today or tomorrow? When are you doing that,
Lisa? It's today. I think what you want the webcam for is the, the trying it out.
Sure, too. Yeah, we're fine with that, too.
Well, we have many questions about that. That'll be later this hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, keep listening for your chance to win those Fall Out Boy tickets. They are on sale. They're playing the Forum, and they're playing the Honda Center. We're giving away tickets to the latter night and backstage passes and their Infinity on High CD and a key that could start a brand-new Honda Civic that is specially tricked out by the Fall Out Boy guys themselves. So keep listening. Your chance to win that coming up on K-Rock.
Big trouble in Mexico. I don't know if you've seen this, but Mexico's National Association of Actors Union are the ones that are responsible for the voice actors who translate The Simpsons into Spanish.
Okay.
You know, it's funny. We know, we think of, Dan Castellaneta, for instance, is our Homer Simpson for the last 18 years. But there's a guy who plays Homer in many countries around the world. You know, there's an Indian Homer, and then there's a Mexican Homer, and then, there's a Portuguese Homer. I mean, it's very funny to think that there's a whole another set of Simpsons out there.
And these Simpsons, apparently this union, the Mexican National Association of Actors Union, went on strike in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that the producers told them to get them to come back off strike is, we will let you do the movie as well. And now apparently they're being told they can't do the movie.
Really?
Why?
I don't know.
Now, this Simpsons movie, we've been waiting for, it seems like 10 years since they first said they were going to put a movie out, but it's finally coming out this summer. In a couple of months, it's going to be coming out. So it seems like now would be the time that these guys ought to be voicing the movie if they're going
to
do it.
I went to see Shooter over this past weekend, and there was a trailer for this, and I was so excited to see the Simpsons movie. But the guys who do the voices in Mexico apparently are not being used for the movie. They're upset. They're threatening to strike again.
Well, that seems bogus.
They're saying, look, you told us we could do the voices. We're the voices in Mexico. Why would you be against that?
Yeah.
And, I don't understand it.
I don't know exactly what's going on, but we had Lightning track down the National Association of the Actors Union in Mexico, and we have them on the phone to try and figure out exactly what's going on down there with the voices for the Simpsons movie. Good morning.
¿Qué pasa? What's up, man?
Hi there. What's your name, sir?
My name's Rudy Cisneros. How you doing, vato?
Rudy?
Rudy?
We know you.
Rudy, it's Kevin and Bean calling from K-Rock.
Nah. Seriously?
Is this our Raiders fan, Rudy?
Yeah, what's
Rudy?
Up, eh?
We asked Lightning. Why did?
What's happening?
Why did Lightning give us Rudy? We asked for the Mexican National Association of Actors Union.
Yeah, that's me, eh? I just got a new job. I came down here in Mexico, like, the other day I smoked some crazy, like, some weed with my homeboy Little Maniac and Trucha, and I guess they, like, sprinkled some angel dust or something in there, eh?
Yeah.
And, like, next thing I know, I woke up in Mexico, and, like, I got a fly job.
but you're not an actor. I mean, this is the union that represents the voice actors, in this case, that are working for The Simpsons. That's not you. You don't do that.
Dude, you got, like, they had to take, like, whatever they can get. Like, I did some extra work on Baywatch in 1996.
Right.
And they're like, that's enough credit for us, eh? And, you know, so, like, now I'm running stuff down here.
Okay,
wait
a minute.
Voices. I'm, like, delegating people. It's crazy.
Okay, wait a minute. So you're saying that the actors that do the voices are on strike now and you're the strike breaker?
Yeah, and, like, I'm also, like, filling in. I've been, like, doing some voices for, like, the Simpsons episodes, like, while they're on strike, eh?
Do you do the Simpsons? Do you do voices?
Well, I mean, I try. You know, the hard part is, like, I don't speak Spanish.
Well, that makes sense.
That seems a little bad.
Well, like I said, any port in a storm, eh? Like, all the voice actors in Mexico, they're striking. So, like, they have to take whatever they can get. I guess they're, like, outsourcing to like, some cholos in the U.S., eh? So, like, I made my way down there.
Wow. Outsourcing bites everybody in the ass, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does. Man.
You know, I thought the king of Mexico, our friend Dave Sanchez, who answers the phones here, Carrick, was the only guy who speaks with this much of an accent and can't speak Spanish. I'm so confused by you now, Rudy.
I'm a product of my environment, eh? That's what my counselor at high school used to say, eh? You know what I'm saying? Like, I just emulate what I was hearing back in my house, you know, growing up.
So are the Simpsons actors, the voice actors, are they out in front with signs saying, you know, hell no, we won't go or whatever?
They're saying that, but I
guess in
Spanish, yeah, so I don't know what they're saying. Like, I just make a move when I walk into work, you know what I'm saying? Like, get out of my way, puto.
Do they spit on you?
And I gotta do some work, you know? And they don't spit on me. They know better, eh? They see the teardrop under my eye. They see the, they see the mi vida loca. They know, eh?
Okay.
I got my Raiders beanie down tight. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
Sure. Rudy, I don't understand. So what are the Simpsons episodes like, though, if you're the guy who's supposed to be translating into Spanish and you can't speak Spanish? I don't understand how that would work for the people watching the show in Mexico.
I figured you guys might have, like, some questions, you know, like what it's sounding like.
Right.
So I actually sent over some MP3 files this morning because I knew, like, you guys were going to talk to me. I sent it to Lightning. I didn't know you guys were going to, like, be, you know, blowing me up on the show like this, but I think you guys might have some clips, eh?
I have a CD, or what is this?
Well, like, this is going to be this Sunday's episode, like, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying my best because I don't speak Spanish. And I don't really do voices in the past. So this is Marge and Lisa having, like, a mother-daughter moment, eh? You know, and I just did it the best I could, you know what I'm saying?
All right, so here's scene number one with Rudy Cisneros, who's now voicing The Simpsons.
Órale, Lisa, where have you been? Oh, hi, moms. I've been at the El Monte Mall preparing for my big Valentine's Day date with Ralph Wiggum. Oh, how great. Where is he taking you? Ralph just got a fly new pompadour haircut, and he's going to take me to the Morrissey concert to try and release some anger and frustration from our harsh Latino lives. That's great, Lisa. And that white blouse with black bra looks so sexy on you. Thanks, Mom. And how about my eyebrows? Don't they look great? Yeah, who did it? Little Pukey's cousin, Skranta. Oh, Lisa, you're growing up right before my eyes.
Rudy, that doesn't sound anything like Marge and Lisa, though. Nothing.
Well, the last
you're not even trying to do their voices.
Look, eh? All right, if you want to make fun of the product.
No, no, we're just, no.
Don't question my effort, eh?
No, but what we're
don't
saying is.
Don't question my effort, okay?
No, but what we're saying is that the voice actors in Mexico, they tried to make it sound like the original.
I was trying it.
Well, those were two, there was like a mom and a daughter there, a little girl.
Why are you making fun of me, eh?
Well, I'm just saying
best.
You didn't
you know
try.
What I'm saying? You've been picking on me for years. So I said, go out, get a job, become something, Rudy. Now I got a job.
Okay,
I'm like, you know,
okay.
I'm blowing
all
up.
All right, we apologize. Do you think Matt Groening is going to be excited about Little Pukey being worked in the episode?
All right. He's a good guy. You don't even know that, Vato.
All right. Hey, we don't need to mock.
Hey, we got one more clip.
Oh, one more. Okay.
Yeah. This one is Homer and Bart, and they're like hanging out at the pad in Springfield. Check it out.
Okay, now, so these are guys, so I imagine you do a pretty good Homer. I mean,
dude, it's unbelievable. You're like gonna believe it's the real Simpsons.
Okay, here you go.
What's up, Bart? What are you doing? Oh, I'm just watching the Raider game, hanging out, smoking that bomb ass Yesca that Milhouse sold me. That smells like some bomb chronic ass skunk weed, eh? Can I hit that? Of course you can, Homer. Take a pull off this, vato. Dope.
Well, that's flawless. That's good work.
Can I hear the dough one more time?
All right, hold on, eh? Meanie, meanie, meanie. Dope.
That's pretty good.